fish, the size of fish, the specific speed of the units, etc. This is a little bit different, so we may look at both of these to show a comparison of what we think it's going to be, but we are comfortable that the entrainment is going to be lesser of an issue on this type of unit than on a traditional unit.
Entrainment, what about impingement?
Impingement's another story. Now, I think that's something that we have to be looking at is there are certain criteria that we want to try to meet, but that's something that I'm not as familiar with the units, but we want to make sure that we don't have impingement on the trash racks or the screens or whatever it is that we're using for the fish to go through. And again, so we'll address both of those issues. I know I'd be remiss, probably my friends in the Fish and Wildlife Service or him in the back of the head if they didn't see the words impingement and entrainment up there. But we'll lay out what we're looking to do there, and obviously it's to minimize the impingement, and it's to look at what the effects of entrainment are. Hopefully we'll have a high survival rate. If you got a high survival rate, then you may have larger openings so you don't have any impingement.
Do you foresee fish studies, real fish studies, with impingement and entrainment before this proposal is submitted?
I can't answer that. Because they would have to do, that would have to be laboratory-type tests. But I think what Eric's saying is,
do you foresee that your business would have these studies done before? I'd like to see the statistics before I said yay or nay. I don't know about electronic fish. I don't know how well those are accepted.
I don't know either.
But I know real fish. Right. And so, I mean, it would be helpful to know and be able to show that these are less problematic than a lot of traditional. If this is such a great technology, has the data, how does this compare statistically to conventional or historical?
And what time frame are you talking about?
I don't know what the time frame of the applicant is.
Let's say we can get all the studies done, this year that we're talking about here, and file an application. So by the end of this year, by this sometime in 2016, do you anticipate?
By the end of 2016, we'll have fish studies.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that'll be it.
I'm sure I should have realized your question was more directed to Eric.
It's about the product, I guess, and I'm just not familiar with it. So,
We have very large incentive to get the fish studies done because it comes up a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we...
And it should be a great selling point for us as well.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Right.
So, and then the other point we just talked a little bit about was the local effects on the fish habitat. So this is the impoundment fishery, and there's two aspects of this. One is you're adding the 3 feet, so how's that going to affect the fishery? Is it going to affect the spawning at all? And then there's that piece that's just immediately upstream of the dam, where you're getting the amount of flow that you needed, that you need to sustain that. If not, then what are you going to do about that? So you got that. And then there's that piece immediately downstream, because the water's not going over the spillway. But there is, if you look at that aerial, you can see that just upstream of, I think it's called Alluvial Island, there's a gap that's right there between the right side of the river and the left side. So if we put the powerhouse on the right side, there should be some flow through there. Plus, you're going to have water seeks its own level. But we need to look at the bathymetry of that to see what that's going to look like. So there will need to be kind of a hydrology assessment of that, and Herb and Prof do that for us pretty effectively, I think. And then we can assess, all right, how's that going to be affecting it, and if we do see something, it's not like you're going to have the dewired section, but how's that going to affect the quality of the habitat? And that's what we'll be addressing here. So those are the fishery issues, and maybe this is the time for Scott, you or George, you want to talk a little bit more about what you would like to see in any of these studies, the fish passage, or did I give enough of a kind of a overview of what we're looking to do? But we're all ears now in terms of your thoughts for us to consider in the study plan.
Well, I mean, yeah, the the fish passage is obviously a big part of this, you know, entrainment and impingement that we've already talked about. In fish passage, you know, you'd have the migratory species you listed, and then potentially resident species as well. As far as, you know, you have some stuff, some species that are already there. You know, lampreys and eels, and then the resident species are already there in numbers sufficient to, you know, there's no sense in delaying passage on them. So then the next question would be, you know, to develop triggers for other species. And in this case, you're primarily going to be looking at American shad as far as, you know, the migratory species.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be the big ones. And then that's something where we would, like, get our fish passage person involved with.
Okay.
And
about mussel host fish?
Yeah, potentially. Like I say, that, you know, there really hasn't been, that I'm aware of anyway, a whole lot on dams in terms of resident fish passage up to this point. But it's something that's just always kind of been ignored, or else it's been looked at that they put in facilities for, like they did at Bossier's, there's a fish passage facility for that was primarily put in for diatomous species, but it primarily passed as resident species.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would, that'd be something we'd want to look at too, would be, you know, even though, again, as you mentioned, you're only passing fish up to Rugen's, but all those other dams also have provisions in their license,
right,
for fish passage should they need, you know, should they ever reach that.
So if I could ask a clarifying question for, let's say, American shad, you know, our thought was when you had whatever that trigger point is, you would, you know, the owners of the dams on the river would, you know, get together with anybody else who would want to have an active interest in, and they would work to have a trap facility. We would haul them upstream of Coosha someplace and then, you know, release them there. How would we do that for the residents? What would your idea for the resident species be?
I don't know whether you do a trap and transport or, you know, I think that would be something that you would look at the options, and whether, like a trap and transport where you just take it over Scott's Mill Dam, or mm-hmm. if you're looking at you know, some sort of fishway. The eels are relatively easy.
Yeah.
They're easy to get upstream.
Upstream, right.
The trick with them is getting them back down.
Right.
Without chopping them up. So that would be, you know, I have to look at one of the things, the issue would be downstream passage of eels and lamprey, I suppose, too, and upstream. But those are two, that would be sort of a separate issue. But I agree that with the American shad, that the, based on the timing of everything, that you're already so far upstream anyway, that having tried to pass them through seven dams one at a time is sort of, you know, pointless. So that trying to get them up above in one fell swoop is probably the only way to really go.
In terms of downstream passage of the larger fish, we would be specifying and installing a pretty good trash rack to begin with. So there's not going to be large fish that are going to be trying to go through the turbines. And I also just point
there
out...
There will not be large fish?
Not. Because
why
of,
not?
Because of the trash rack.
Okay.
So we would have a trash rack screen upstream of the turbines.
Okay.
And it's still to be determined what the spacing on that trash shack would be.
Right, but if you're looking at eels passing downstream, you know, they could be, you know, they could be fairly long, but they're not necessarily that big around.
Right. Right. Yeah, they'll get through. Trust me.
and so like, then and again, it would depend on. That's one thing that would be very interesting to see, what any, you know, data showed on your units is how well they pass adult eels. Because one of the options they're looking at on some hydro projects for downstream passage of eels is nighttime shutdown, because they seem to move at night more than during the day. There's certain times of year and certain moon phases that seem to trigger more movement. So they'll do at high probability times when they're likely to be migrating downstream. They'll shut down at night and just spill everything.
Right.
And that's how they use to get eels down.
Another factor is that on a day like this, for example, we'd be taking less than a third of the actual water if we were running at full capacity. So there'd be two-thirds or more of the water is going over the dam.
Right. But again, it what you don't know is if they're moving along the bottom, are they going right into your intake? Is your intake, because that's where, you know, instead of going up over the top of the dam, so you just, you know. But in this case, there's so much rubble and stuff in front of the dam that maybe they may just follow that over.
So a question for you here, kind of a thought that we had. If you look at this downstream passage, which is being evaluated from the New York Power Authority all the way, you know, down south to South Carolina, if as part of the study plan for this, we're not proposing to do, you know, the kind of research to take the state of the art, but we do want to take what's known, and maybe what we can talk about here in the study plan is we would do a literature review of all that recent stuff and see then how it might apply to Scotts Mill, and in particular to the units that we're looking at here. So that's kind of where we were coming from. It wouldn't be because I don't know how you would design a study for downstream passage other than to take the literature that's out there and use the findings of some of the other projects, you know, lay that out and then try to develop some kind of thought process on the findings to date on how it might how that might work on Scotts Mills. That's kind of the thinking that we had. Is that
work for you? That seems reasonable, because I mean part of the issue is that right now the downstream passage stuff is still fairly early in the process. You know, there hasn't been a lot of it's been something that's, it's only been on people's radars for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so, and so it's still pretty early in terms of trying to figure out how different species and timing and everything else, how it all works. So there's not a ton of really solid information out there on it. So it's just, a lot of it is, this would be something that I think you'd want to build in some sort of you know, adaptive management or adjustments or something like that into the process, because, you know, things may change, and particularly given the newness of this technology that you're talking about, you know, we may know more both about just fish passage in general and fish passage through these type of units. Mm-hmm. And, 5 or 10 years, then we know now.
Yeah. So on Roanoke Rapids and Gaston, now you're working with them on that. So we started passing the eels quite a few years ago. So I must be getting close to where we're going to be coming downstream. I haven't talked to, I know Jim is retired, but I haven't talked to Corey lately on that. You have a sense of where that is for the downstream side on that?
No, because that's a weird case, because they're past, you know, they've passed several million eels.
I know.
Above Roanoke Rapids Dam, and they seem to disappear. They haven't, you know, they could find a few of them in the lake, but they're finding very few, and no one's really sure why.
Are they tagged?
Some of them are tagged. Yeah, they've been. You know, they tag a certain percentage. They can't tag them all because, like I say, in a good year they'll pass 3 or 4 million. They don't know if it's